Ho, ho, ho. Welcome back.
Hello.
Yep. I just dialed you back in. Well, that was really, I have to say, an overused word, but pretty damn awesome.
Very awesome. I thought it was actually especially useful for DS-106 Headless because we're going into week 9 where we're telling stories in the web and we're using x-ray goggles and other sorts of things. So, you know, who knew it was going to be so prescient?
Plus, it was really wonderful to hear the range of the stories and especially to hear the sounds as you did, Kevin, in the end there, which is just beautiful to get a sense of the energy in the room and the words from Lara's students. And also that people are hacking real things. I love hearing about.
Actually, I was trying to take part in the CL MOOC this past summer, but it was when I was moving from Australia to back to Canada. Didn't really have time, but there were some really great toy hacks going on there. So that was excellent that you got that in there. I thought that was really interesting about how they just invite you to play toys to try to figure out how they work and then to play around with them. So that was really cool too.
Yeah.
I had a question. Just because I've heard so many teachers talking about this sort of thing, when you record kids and put them into a radio show, do you need to get permission from their parents to do that?
That's a really good question. It depends on the school. So like at our school, we have a release policy at the beginning of the year that includes digital media. And mostly for images and video, not so much audio. And our district mostly has a policy of no last names. So like you wouldn't be able to identify any of those kids who they are. And even when we do do work on any of our, you know, different spaces that we do, we only would use first names or pseudonyms if the parents requested it, or, you know, the students would not be involved. We'd find some other activity if we had to.
So we do want to
protect the privacy of the kids as much as possible, for sure.
Yeah, but I'm really glad you were able to do it because I thought that might not be possible. So that's great.
Yeah.
And it would seem, you know, audio, I mean, you have the most ability to take care of that. I mean, you never say the kid's name. There's no identification. You know, one could say the voice is an identifier, but that's pretty fine hair picking.
Yeah,
I agree.
So, in retrespect, tell us a little bit about the experience, Kevin. You did the editing on most of this.
I did. It was very tricky and interesting and fun too. And so we used Dropbox. After we had kind of planned out the sequence of the show together and talked it through, well, wrote it through a little bit together. And then I grabbed all the files and moved into Audacity and kind of did it in there. And, you know, we all recorded on different computers with different equipment and different software. So it was hard to make it seem rather seamless across the whole 20, you know, 2 or 23 minutes of it. And, you know, of course I hear it all like, oh, I should have done that, you know, as I'm listening to it. But at a certain point you let it go. Right. And, you know, it's great. And so it was really, I haven't listened to it actually in a couple of days after listening to it nonstop as I was editing it. So it was interesting to hear the whole thing from start to finish instead of looking at WAV files in front of my eyeballs, you know, trying to move things together.
It's a little bit hard.
You know, everyone edited their own segments, so it was really just a matter of pulling it all together in a way that kind of made sense.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's kind of hard to hear it as a whole after you've been that close to it.
And so
really nice work on doing that bit of balancing. The mixing in of the commercials and the bumpers was smooth. And also the use of the music. What was the source of that background music?
Something I composed in iMusic and GarageBand. Sorry, GarageBand, and then just kind of use as kind of bumper music here and there.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. So then it was our own music, basically.
So you don't have to get permission or look for a license or what have you.
No,
that's excellent.
And then the music I used under my pieces was also stuff that I had written too. So.
Wonderful.
Had you done this kind of audio editing before, Kevin?
I've done podcasting before and some auto editing. You know, I debated GarageBand versus Audacity for this kind of project. And I guess I don't know, you know, what you guys usually use or if you use something else, but I feel like I had more control in Audacity than I would have had, I don't know, maybe because I'm more comfortable with it than using the other software. So, I don't think I've ever pulled anything together this large, you know? So that was a great experience to do it. And then of course to have such great audio, you know, to work with my partners, that really made a big difference.
Yeah, so were they, any of them new to doing audio editing?
I'm not really quite sure actually on that. I'm not sure.
That's all right. Because they did a great job. I mean, I was impressed with the layering of the music and the different voices and the editing between those. So if everybody did their own segment, there was really excellent audio work going on in many of those.
And my guess is that Laura has probably done it because she did a great job of using all these, you know, interesting sound effects that kind of came in and planned in different ways that seem like somebody who's done it or at least tinkered with it any number of times. That'd be my guess.
And it had, as a whole, you know, having listened to, you know, both these kind of shows and the ones that we have you listen to, the podcast and the professional edited ones, I mean, this has, like, everything in the package. It's got the intro, it's got the interludes, the nice transitions from section to section. So it's a complete show, so congratulations on that.
Thanks. That's great.
Oh, I'm just saying something about Audacity versus GarageBand. I've never used GarageBand, so I can't really say anything about that, but I find Audacity to be really intuitive and quite easy to use. But I know one team member of ours didn't really agree that Audacity was all that easy to use, so I don't know. Yeah,
it varies. I tend to use, I do the most of the assembly in Audacity. I might, use GarageBand to do a certain effect. I like the different voice effects it has, the composing of the music. In terms of assembling everything, I've just gotten accustomed to the Audacity interface. The only thing that gets tricky when you have this many things is the vertical stacking.
Yeah,
I'm toggling up and down and up and down and up and down. Where the hell did that file go?
Yes.
it was interesting. And I think, you know, Alan, you helped me start to think through this. You know, one of my ideas was, since our theme was, you know, hacking, was really to try to find a way to get all the files up for anybody who wanted to remix the show, you know, in the way they want to do it. So, you know, we're still talking through that about how to make all the individual files available. If anybody's interested in just grabbing them and, you know, remixing them and, you know, or just using pieces if they want to. So once we get it together, we'll kind of tweet that out too. But that seemed to be right in the spirit of our show, which is, you know, this stuff is here. Most of the segments will be, there may be one segment not in there, but most of the segments will be there, and that, you know, people should feel free to make it work for them or make it, use it as you need. And so we're going to try to make that happen.
That's cool.
Such an excellent idea.
What do you think? I mean, any ideas how you or your group might use, you know, your final production?
No.
That's a fair enough question. I just thought it, you know, the whole thing was to have this experience and put it together and build it. But I mean, you've kind of had this mixing of different looks at the idea of hacking, and you know, I don't know if it'll become something that might be useful, you know, when you're talking to other teachers about what you're doing.
I'm just thinking, you know, I'll definitely share backwards into the Teach the Web community and the Making Learning Connected community, and probably share it out. I'm part of the National Writing Project too. We'll share it out through our networks there. So, because it is this idea of making is really taking hold a lot in a lot of classrooms and a lot of teachers thinking about, you know, that exploration of kids kind of back into things. And then the struggle that we're having with the balancing of all the standards and testing and stuff that we're forced to do and how that sucks all the fun out of the classroom experience for a lot of our kids. So.
And I think the stuff that you did, would be interesting to have, like, some people say, you know, different contexts, because, you know, all the stuff that you guys are doing in the K-12 schools would be interesting to see, you know, how people at other, not only other levels of school, but outside of school could benefit from that activity.
Yeah. Those conversations are really...
Mommy.
Hello.
Mommy.
Sorry, I'm trying to cover the mic.
That's okay. That's the reality here.
Do you want to say hi on the radio? Uh-huh. Yeah?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Huh?
What are you doing?
Eating my dinner.
Eating dinner.
That I can't eat.
What's for dinner?
That you can't eat. What's for dinner?
Carrots and soup.
Oh, that's very healthy.
That sounds yummy. Okay. All right, you guys can go ahead and keep talking.
So, what advice would you give to other people taking on this radio show project?
Well, I think I think you have to go into it really open-minded and really enjoy the collaborative element of it. One of the great things about, you know, DS106 and other sites is the fact that you connect with so many people from different backgrounds. And, as a teacher, I hang around with a lot of teachers, offline and online, K-12 teachers. And it's great to be able to bump into different communities where, it might be other teachers, but perhaps at the university level, or people who are completely outside of education but have kind of views around learning. And so I think you kind of go into these and have an open mind, open heart, and see what can happen. I think that that those kind of connections are really powerful.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to thank you and the group for putting together a great show, for giving us a good lead-off show for the night that we're doing, and all the stuff that you guys are doing in DS106. It's fun to be both a part of and watch.
Yeah, thanks for having us, and thanks for sharing the show, and for all that you and others have done to kind of nurture that community there. I think it's really it comes through the kind of fiber of the whole kind of DS106 area, wherever you kind of jump in.
All right, well, I hope so. Well, thanks, and have a good evening, Kevin. And
thanks.